Mr. Rabinowitz.
Yes, Dick.
Oh, Harry, compliments of the season. Here's a box of cigars for the band.
Dick, a box of... Oh, thank you. I'll pass them around now.
Yes. Yeah. A jolly good present, and I'm sure they'll all appreciate it. Harry, it should work out one each for the band and two for you.
Good. I need a spare baton. Here's the box back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Ah, Bentley, I seem to have arrived at the right moment. Christmas present?
Yes, Jimmy.
Good. What have you got for me?
Merry Christmas, Jimmy. Here you are, an empty cigar box.
That's a nice thing to give anybody. Really, Bentley, after the magnificent present which I sent to you, a handsome press cuttings album.
Yes, Jimmy, full of cuttings about you.
What better contents could it have? I trust it's now adorning your mantelpiece?
Well, almost. I put it on the fire.
Well, there's gratitude for you, and after all the hours the little woman and I spent pasting in the items.
Hello, Jimmy. Well, everybody seems to be giving their Christmas presents now. You may as well have these. I knitted them myself.
Oh, how
knitted
very them. Thank you.
Well, here you are, Dick. Yes. There's a woolly hot water bottle cover.
Oh, June, thank you. I shall always keep it next to my feet.
And Jimmy, for you, a file moustache cozy.
Just what I wanted. My old one was getting a bit threadbare.
Well, Merry Christmas.
And the same to you, June.
Yes, and a very prosperous new year. Well, go on, Bentley. Give her your present.
I haven't got one. Give her yours.
I haven't got one either. Oh, well, June. Sorry to keep you while we were whispering together. About your Christmas present, just pop to the dressing room and look in our overcoat pockets.
Oh, Jim, lovely. Oh, thank you. I won't be long. Yeah,
Jimmy, she won't find any presents there.
No, but it'll give us valuable time. We've got to act quickly at Wall.
Yeah. Now, what is it? What is it?
Were you planning on giving us any Christmas presents after the show?
Wow, yes. Now you mention it, I was.
Well, we'll have them now.
Yes. All right. Well, then, Mr. B, here you are, and a Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Wallace.
Yeah.
Oh, beautifully wrapped,
isn't it?
Yes. Certainly enough tissue paper. Wallace, there's nothing here.
No, well, Mr. B, I bought the paper and I couldn't think what to give you.
Oh. Well, I hope my present's better than that.
Oh, yes, Jim, you find it's very useful. Here you are.
A comb?
Jim, it's the thought that counts.
Yes, and I'd better keep mine to myself, obviously.
Jimmy, June will be back in a moment. What are we going to do about her present?
We have to make do with what we've just got. Quick, give me that tissue paper.
Oh, hello. June, I doubt it, June, you're back.
Yes, well, I've been through both your coat pockets, Dick, but this is all I could find.
Oh, June, you don't think we'd give you a bus ticket?
Well, I...
No, we wanted you out of the way to prepare for the big surprise. Oh. Jimmy?
Yes, no, Mr. McFeel, on behalf of Mr. Bentley and myself, please accept this with our sincere Christmas wishes.
Thank you, but I don't smoke cigars.
But in a box, open it.
Oh, a comb and tissue paper?
Yes, my dear, it's the latest thing.
What?
A do-it-yourself musical box.
And now we welcome the polka dot.
The snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a word December. Just watch those icicles fall.
What do I care if icicles fall?
I've got my love to keep me warm. Up with my overcoat, up with my glove. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire, the flame grows higher. So I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Off with my overcoat, off with my glove. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love.
My heart's on fire, the flame grows higher. So I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may snow?
Now we present our newspaper of the air, the Sunday Type. As usual, first with the Christmas news. Take this week's front page story.
Foul pest in Sussex.
Mr. Jimmy Edwards will be spending Christmas at home.
Full of interesting features such as Notes for Women by Heather Scott Papworth.
Hello. Of all the Christmas cards I've received this year, my favorite is this one. It has cheery greetings spelled out in tinsel, and when you open it, a robin pops out. I'd just like to read the verse to you. The Yuletide log is burning bright as Jack Frost tiptoes through the night. The snowman nods as if to say, the time has come, 'tis Christmas Day. Oh, delightful. And thank you so much for sending it, T.S. Eliot.
Christmas Fair by Greedy Guts.
Food is always a problem in the week after Christmas. Here are a few suggestions. Have you thought of turkey croquettes? And then there's steamed turkey and parsley sauce, turkey shepherd's pie, poached turkey on toast, turkey bolognese, turkey a la king, turkey stroganoff, or possibly turkey kebab. After that, I'm afraid it's back to dreary old roast lamb.
And so to our main feature, a frank revelation of circus life. The story of a young man's loves and ambitions in the sawdust ring. We bring you...
Room at the Big Top.
My name is Joe Chubb. Ever since a lad, I've wanted to be with the circus. But it wasn't easy to get in. There's a ring, you know. For a time, I worked at a flea circus. Started from scratch and finished up with an itch for something better. That's why I accepted the menial task of stable boy at the Ernie Binsdale Circus and took the train south for Dumpton Heath.
Dumpton Heath, full train, Dumpton Heath, full
train. That's where I made my first big mistake. The circus was at Chadwick Common. I managed to find it all right. From the station, I just followed me nose. A young lad by the name of Fred Hartley met me. He was to be my stable companion.
Hello.
Hello.
Must be Joe Chubb.
Hi.
Come on, I'll show you around the circus. Now, over there, that's the cages where the animals are. There's the living quarters. And, of course, there's the big top.
Ah. Hey.
Ah.
Hey, the big top. Fred. One day I'll be in there with me shiny topper and me highly polished riding boots, and everybody's eyes will be on me.
Yeah, well, if you only wear the topper and boots...
I'll have me spangled.
Not so fast, Joe. You've got a lot to learn. Here a minute. Do you know what this is?
Don't be daft, of course. I know that's an elephant.
No, it isn't. It's a caravan.
Oh. I have got a lot to learn, haven't I?
I'll introduce you now to some of the circus folk. Now, come this way.
Here. Fred, what are these lads making?
Oh, nothing.
Well, what a blooming waste of time.
Oh, no, it's not. How do you think we get all the sawdust for the ring?
Oh, there is a lot to learn, isn't there?
Yeah, there's that. Joe, look, I'd like you to meet another member of the troop.
How do you do, sir?
Pleased to meet you.
Oh, madam.
The bearded lady.
Well, nice to know you, madam. Don't go too near the knife thrower or you'll be out of a job. Who's this?
Ah, well now, you see, this is Mr. Binsdale's daughter.
Oh, Mr. Binsdale's daughter. Not Mrs. Binsdale.
Well, I'm Mrs. Binsdale's daughter.
Oh, she's got it right, you see.
She's better known as Trixie. Tops on the trapeze, is she?
Hello, Joe. I've just been practicing on the high wire.
Oh, you're lovely. A man like me could look up to a woman like you. It must be nerve-wracking being up so high. Don't you use a net?
Oh, no. My hair's naturally curly.
You know, she's got a wonderful record, Joe. She's been with the circus all her life and never slipped once.
Well, there's a first time for everything, isn't there?
Oh, Joe, you tinker.
Tinker?
Yes. I think I'm going to like you.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to laugh.
Careful, Joe, careful. Trixie's not for you. Here comes her fiancé.
Hello, darling.
Oh, hello.
Good gracious. Good gracious, it speaks. For a moment I thought you were the performing sea lion. Until I realized that ball was your nose.
Oh. Who is this well-groomed dunderhead?
Oh, allow me to introduce my fiancé, Richard Upton Standish.
The human cannonball. I'm quite a big shot, you know. And I warn you, stay away from Miss Binsdale. You understand? Come along, darling. Come along. Come and have a glass of wine in my caravan.
Cheerio. See you later. Now, listen, Joe. That was very foolish. You can't afford to fall out with Mr.
Sanders,
you know.
He doesn't frighten me.
But he's dangerous, Joe. He's got a terrible temper. He's likely to explode at any minute.
Oh, is he?
If I were you, I'd apologize to Mr. Standish. You send him some flowers.
Send him? Have you gone bonkers? Not on your life. No, Fred, there'll be no orchids for Mr. Standish. After that, said he, plunging into narrative, Trixie and I saw more of each other, but it was dangerous. Sometimes when we were alone together, that wretched human cannonball would drop in on us.
So this is what's going on behind my back. Or behind my cannon, I should say. All right, chap. I've spoken to Mr. Binsdale about this. You're not going to work for Trixie anymore.
After that little incident, I was sent back to the elephants. And all the time, I was looking for ways to win Trixie's affection. At last, one came. That sounds like Trixie.
Yes, Joe, and it come from the direction of the lion.
What, the lion? Quick, Fred, give me that whip and chair.
Right.
I'll show you what Joe Chubb is made of. All right, Trix, stay absolutely still. Get back. Go on back. Go on back. Oh, you would, you? Get back. Go on. Go on.
Oh, well done, Joe. Well done.
All right, Trix, it's safe to come down now.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I just can't bear my...
you're safe, that's all that matters. Trixie, it seems a rum moment, but I love you.
And are you, Joe?
Ooh. Ooh, that wax currycombing liberty horse is any time.
Excuse me.
Oh, Richard, you.
Yes, I've been standing here for some time. I know now that you love Joe and not me. I may have been unreasonable in the past, but I won't stand in your way. Good luck to you both. As for me, I shall go out of your life forever.
Oh, Joe, he's climbing into his cannon.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, Richard, no.
I'm sorry, Trixie, but it has to be this way. Joe, point me upward.
No, Richard, don't shoot yourself.
Of course he mustn't. Of course he mustn't. I'll do it.
Thank you, Joe. Well, goodbye, Fred. Goodbye, bearded lady. Goodbye, Hercules.
Oh, for goodness, it's cold standing about here.
Goodbye, world. A last message for my public. Tell them to look up into the sky tonight and they'll see their favorite star. All right, Joe.
Oh, Rick. There goes a brave man. Joe, I'm sorry you had to hate him so.
Well, perhaps I did, but not anymore. His action now has just changed all that.
What do you mean?
He's gone right up in my estimation.
Now the voice of Tony Eden.
You deserve 16 lackeys waiting on you night and day, and 32 hands waving fans just to brush the flies away. You deserve first maiden just to stand and feel your grace, dressed in pearls, hair and girls, in half a dozen sizes and shapes. If I had the riches of the master, I would give you all I own. You deserve a queen like Cleopatra to come along and share your throne. You can bet I will love you to the nth degree. What you deserve call me. You deserve painted barges just to float you down the Nile. When you're blue, you have a few dresses just to make you smile.
Why wasn't you in here last night, then?
Ted, that's what I've been asking myself all day.
Well, I mean, one night in the year when I offered a pre-drink to all my regulars, I thought you'd have been round here three times in a row.
I grieved over it, Ted.
Oh, sure.
Normally I would have been, but I thought I was on to something better.
Something better than a free drink, Mr. Glamp?
Yes, Ted, a whole evening of free drinks.
Oh.
Oh, Ted, greed, as they say, was my undoing.
Well, let's hear the story then, Mr. Glamp.
All right, Ted. Well, to begin with, we must go back to last night.
I'm with you, Mr. Glamp.
Good, then let me have my free drink now, then, will you?
All right.
Thank you, Ted. A nice brown ale with a nice head on it.
Shall be.
Well, it was like this.
Your Christmas decorations look very nice. One really gets the festive spirit when one sees gay things around the room. Oh, it makes it all so seasonal. I love Christmas decorations, Ron, don't you?
No, eh?
Why not?
I'm sitting on a bit of holly. It's uncomfortable, eh?
A dog in a bed of thistles, then move, silly.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm getting used to it now. Yes, I decorated the room myself.
Oh, did you, Ron?
Yeah.
Oh, I never realized you were so artistic.
Oh.
You certainly improvised very well.
Mm-hmm.
Those socks strung across the room. Was that your idea?
No, Eth, it's Mum's washing, but I was the one who thought of sticking sprigs of holly into them. Coming through the potatoes, you know. You can see the little bits of holly.
Very nice.
Mm.
Oh, and what an ingenious idea, sprinkling artificial snow everywhere.
I spilt the sugar, Ed.
Oh, well, never mind. It looks Christmassy. Oh, it is getting near now, Ron. Have you done all your Christmas shopping?
Most of it, Ed. I've already got my eye on your present.
Oh, don't tell me it'll spoil the surprise. What is it, Ron?
I'll give you a hint, Beth. What size shoes do you take?
Well, actually, I should take a 5.5, but I generally take a 5. It makes my feet look more dainty.
Oh, then I've done the right thing.
Oh, Ron, you haven't gone and bought me a new pair of shoes.
No, Eth, I'm getting you a shoehorn.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, it
well,
is.
Well, as far as my present to you is concerned, Ron, I have to...
Help me, quick. Where can I hide? Under the sofa, that'll do. Here we are. That's it.
Mr. Glamp, what's the matter? Yeah.
Keep quiet.
What is it? What's going on?
Which way did they go? He must have gone down here. Come on.
See you.
Hey, go. All right, I'll come out now.
I'm getting obese.
Come on. What are you getting, Dad?
Oh, that was a near thing.
But what's it all about, Mr. Glum? Why are you dressed like a postman? Well,
Dad does that every year.
It's a sort of a temporary job, Beth, you see.
Oh, you mean you're just a Christmas postman?
Well, that's the illusion I like to give, you know.
I don't quite understand.
Well, if Dad goes round asking for a Christmas box.
Yes, I go.
You see?
I go before the regular postman has a chance. Usually works a treat, but I slipped up this year.
What went wrong, Dad?
I knocked at the postman's ass. Oh, they nearly caught me. All that walking about, I suppose it keeps them fit, you see.
Mr.
Oh, they run me. I'm out of breath, I am.
Mr. Glum, of all the despicable things you've done, this is the most despicable. I think you're awful.
Well, that's very hurtful. Yes, using those words at this time of the year. Where's the spirit of Christmas?
Yes, indeed.
That's the trouble with you young people. You've just got no feeling.
I have, Dad. I've been sitting on a bit of holly.
It's the only place you have got any feeling.
Come on, Ron. I think we'd better be going.
Going out, are you?
Yes, Dad. We're going to a party.
Oh.
A boyfriend of mine, Mr. Glum.
Oh, yes.
It's just a customary Christmas get-together. A few games and a drink.
A drink? Oh, well, hold on, I'll come with you. I'll just get this uniform off and slip into something more informal. Now, where did I put that lounging waistcoat of
Mr.
mine?
Mr. Glum, you weren't invited to the party.
Well, that don't matter. I never have been invited to a party, but I always go. After all, what's a party without old Pa Glum?
Quiet, Dad.
Yes, Ron, quiet. Dull. It takes me to get them all going.
Going home, Mr. Glum.
Oh.
I'm very sorry, but I was asked to bring just one friend, and I'm taking Ron.
Oh.
It'll do him good to get out of this atmosphere for a bit, and a change for him to mix with a different class of people.
Oh, that's how it is it, eh? I suppose these will be upper working class folk, will they? Ron, I wouldn't go if I was you.
Oh. Come along, Ron. I'll wait for you outside.
Goodbye, Dad. Have a nice time.
Oh, Ron, just a minute, son. Just in case there should be any urgent messages. What's the address of this place?
Oh, number 10 Shakespeare Road.
That's where you're going?
Yes.
10 Shakespeare Road. Righto. Off you go then, son.
Ta-ta, Dad. Dad, don't wait up.
Wait up what, Ron?
You understand me, Dad. You're just talking like me to mock. Ta-ta, Dad.
Go on, get out, Dad. They're not getting rid of me that easy. Me, the champion gate crasher of all time. As soon as I get these clothes off, I'll be happy to accept the hospitality at number 10 Shakespeare Row.
Song before we tackle the eat. Ronald, you naughty boy, you weren't singing, now why not?
I had a mouthful of mince pie.
Oh.
Ron, don't you know it's rude to start eating before anyone else?
No, Eff, but you start it off and I'll join in the chorus.
Well, now I suggest we all sing Red Sails in the Sunset. Righto, Edie.
Right.
Off we go. Bother, I wonder who that can be.
Oh, it's all right, Norm. I'll go for you.
Oh, goody.
Hello, hello. Sorry I'm late, but
Mr. Glum, oh, no, you don't.
Well, Ethel, who was he?
Oh, just some old tramp.
Oh.
I sent him away.
Oh, you shouldn't have. After all, it is Christmas. Well, now, what say we get stuck into the food?
Red sails in the sunset, a booby doop.
Ron, we're not singing anymore. We're all going to eat now.
I'm full up, Eff.
Oh, Ron, honestly. Oh, dear. I'd better go.
No, Ethel, I will go. You all help yourselves. Help yourselves, everybody. Save some jelly for me.
have, Jelly?
Oh, good evening. I wondered if you'd like to buy a Christmas tree. I'd be happy to come and fit it up for you in your front room now, where the party is.
Well, thank you for offering, but we already have a Christmas tree in our front garden, see? It's there. It's a... Oh, it's gone. And there, it looks very much like Elf.
Oh, sorry, I've just remembered an urgent appointment. I'll call again. Merry Christmas to my
Hey, mom. Wait a minute. Come back. Well, of all the nerve. Really?
Anything the matter?
What do you think? Some dreadful person tried to sell me my own Christmas tree.
Did you happen to see what he looked like?
No, I'm afraid it was too dark. Oh, well, there are some funny people about these days. Hey, leave some of those sausage rolls to me.
Ronald? He's come out here in the hall a minute.
What is it, eh?
Here, quick, here. Oh, Ron, it's your father. He keeps trying to get in here. If he comes again, you go to the door and tell him we don't want him.
Righto. Here, Ed. Look where we're standing.
Huh?
Right under the mistletoe.
Oh.
Before Norm comes, give us a kiss there.
Please. Will I? Ron, yeah. Just as it's Christmas, yeah. Then.
Oh, so there you are, eh? And very nice, too.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad to know I have some customers for my mistletoe.
Oh, dear, Ron, quick.
Hello, Dad. Go home.
I say, hold on. Was that your father, Ronald?
Yes, but I've sent him home.
Oh, dear, that will never do. No. Oh, Mr. Glass.
Oh, hello.
I'm sorry, I did not realise you was Ron's father.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. I only just popped round with his galoshes. Who knows, it might come on to snow.
Oh, and very thoughtful, too. Well, do come in, join our festivities.
Who, me? Oh, yes, well, that's very kind of you. Most unexpected, so long as I'm not putting anyone out.
Well, now, come on in. I'm afraid most of the eats will have gone by now.
I was worried about that.
No, perhaps you'd care for a drink?
Oh, well, I don't usually, you know. I mean, but I'll break the rule of a lifetime, perhaps just this once.
Ed, I don't think this is Dad.
Well, Mr. Garth,
yes.
What would you like?
Well,
let's see now. Lemonade, ginger beer, or sarsaparilla?
Lemonade, ginger beer, or soft. Haven't you got anything a little stronger? Haven't got any brown ale, for instance?
Oh, good gracious, no. Didn't Ethel tell you about us?
No.
We're
what?
All strictly teetotal.
Oh, love me all that ever for nothing.
And in a bit of it, the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved are Professor Jimmy Edwards, Dick Bentley, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Tony Eden, and Polkadot. Eric Merriman and Barry Took wrote the script. Your announcer was Douglas Smith, and the show is produced by Charles Chilton.